Blog Talk Radio.
Coming to you live, straight from the whipping up a poetic fusion of life, love, laughter, inspiration, motivation, education, and mental stimulation. With a cherry on top, with our weekly hot topics on everyday relations, welcome to Poetic Energy Blog Talk Radio, with your host, your Poetic host, Energy poetic herself, energy bringing herself. The electric current with her own poetic flow, weekly featured guests, and open mic segments. She promises to keep the currents and the waves live. At all times. Here on Poetic Energy Blog Talk Radio. Poetic Energy Blog Talk Radio. The number to chime in and express yourself is 917-932-8881. That's 917-932-8881. Non-U.S. listeners, dial 1-877-218-1183. That's 1-877-218-1183.
Welcome to the Poetic Energy Network Station. I am your network owner, Michelle E. Alfred, a.k.a. Poetic Energy. This is the Erotic Central Sheet segment of the show, and we are waiting for our host to arrive and our featured guest this evening to arrive. So with that being said, we are going to play a little music and get it started off in here until all our honorees arrive. All righty, we're going to make it sensual a little bit for you guys. We have this awesome Ohio spoken word artist, Mrs. Understood, in rotation, and we're going to play her track, I Need to Say This.
So, I think I need to say this. I may have to say I'm sorry, see. When I laid you down and told you not to worry, you should have known what was about to take place. When you saw that sneaky little look upon my face, see, I took you places your daydreams never would, and your body places no other woman ever could. I took your mind so far. Had you gone somewhere between oblivion and insanity? I stole your control and breached your speech with this succulent peach. So here's my apology. I'm taking time to apologize. I mean, it took me a minute to realize that I may have really seduced your shyness with my undying need to satisfy. Your sexiness, the main reason why. I invaded your fantasies with the grind of these skillful hips, and I held your orgasm hostage on the tip of my tongue in the warmth of these sexy lips. I just hope you can accept this apology. See, that behavior, it just really wasn't me. I guess I was all geared up on curiosity. Like, curious to know what that last inch of your erection feels like. Push deep into that last gasp as I grasp tight to your aggression as you follow direction. Whispered into your anxious ear, and see, baby, this is what you'll hear. I will have you so gone on me that I may owe you an apology. See, I know it was wrong to have your eyes rolled and your body jerking from the vicious way these hips were working, and I was watching you, looking down upon your face as I pleased you, tasted and teased you, until my desired dirty destiny caused this apology. Sweetheart, you should have never, ever messed with me.
Welcome back, Detroit, and all our global listeners. This is your network owner, Michelle E. Alford, a.k.a. Poetic Energy, and this is the Erotic Central Sheet segment. I see that our host for this segment has arrived, Miss Strong Iron, so I am going to connect her in the building because she has an awesome interview ahead this night with an awesome, awesome erotic brother who's just putting it down. It's Mr. Erotic himself. All right, and she's going to have a candid interview with him this evening. All right, we're going to connect Miss Strong Island in so she can do her thing. Welcome,
hello,
Strong.
Hello. Hello, everyone. This is Strong Island. Good evening, Detroit and our global listeners. I'm really excited tonight to be bringing you this wonderful, wonderful spoken word artist. His words has been known to stimulate our mind and also intensify our soul. With no further ado, ladies and gentlemen, I would like to welcome no other than Kino, Mr. Erotic himself. Good evening, Kino.
Good evening. Good evening, man. Thanks for the big ups and everything.
Oh, you're so welcome. It's well-deserved, I say. It's well-deserved.
Well, I hope so. You know, I try my best, you know. I try.
Oh, you're very entertaining. That's my personal opinion. Well, let's get into it. Let's get into the meat and potatoes of this. Kino, where would you say you're from?
Well, I'm from Philadelphia. I come from a background of my father's side is Trinidadian. My mother's side is American. So, but I'm born right here in Philadelphia, you know. So, yeah, I'm a Philly guy.
Okay. Hey, I like that. Hey, we got some stuff in common. Well,
yeah,
you know, tell us a little bit about what you have been doing, what you got going on.
Well, right now I'm just promoting the first book, I Love My Plate Full. The second book is actually finished, but what we want to see is more sales. Actually, I want my name bigger before I even start making appearances. You know, that's just the way I feel as a writer. You know, I notice other writers have done it, but that's always been in my heart. I never wanted to come out. Actually, I wish I nobody could never knew what I look like, but it's too late for that. But yes, before I start doing appearances and everything, I wanted my name already hot. I wanted the fire. So right now, I'm in the process of promoting the first book. Second book is done. I'm working on a third book, which is going to be classic. Oh, my God. It's going to be classic. Serious. I mean, people are going to... I'm developing a new type of character that people can actually hate. Very controversial. Most women have identified this type of man somewhere in their life, you know? So, yeah. There's some things cooking in the pot. I have a CD that I'm coming out with, Erotic, very sensual, very sexual. I have some cards coming out like Valentine's, birthdays. If you're a full-figured woman, thick woman, it's going to cater especially to you. So, you know, things is in the pot. The pot right now is simmering. And when it starts bubbling and cooking, they can best believe the top has to come off, yeah?
Wow, is all I can say is, wow, you are one busy person. But you know what? I'm quite sure that your books will definitely be one great hit. If it's anything like your work that I have been reading and following you for such a long time, where the audience may not know that, but I've actually been your fan for the first time we met on another site. So I just got big ups for that.
Well, that's good. That's good.
Mm-hmm. Now, when would you say that you started writing? Like, what age did you start writing?
I would say about between the age of 7 and 8. Yes, because I never wanted, from age 7 and 8, I never bought my mother or grandmother's, like, birthday cards or any type of holiday cards. I would just write them a letter because that's expressing the way, not going against anybody that buy cards and anything, but that's not the way that I feel. You understand? So on Mother's Day, I want to express to my mother how I feel for her, you know, the way that I love her. And a card can do that. So that was the genesis of it, starting with those type of things, and then it progressed to me writing to my girlfriends or the little different females on the block, and even then it was kind of erotic, I guess I would say. It wasn't, you know, that erotic, but for, you know, 12 and 11 type of stuff, yeah, it was, you know, type of erotic. So those was my genesis right there. That was my foundation. That was my beginning. So I've always written it as long as I can remember, you know?
All right. Well, you know what? It's a good thing when you start out young and your mind is cultivated to continue, because look at where you're at now today.
Yeah,
so,
well,
congratulations,
mean,
to you for starting at such a young age and sticking with it.
Well, I'm shy, so that's my way to express myself. Like, if you see me in person, I'm quiet as a mouse. So, yes, the way I express myself is through my writings. And, yeah, they do my talking for me. You know, so a woman can actually take that with her. You know, I mean, she can take what I say in her mind, but she can also at any time open up her drawer, open up her pocketbook, and pull out that piece of paper where I've expressed myself, you know? So that's, you know? So, yes, that is how I communicate, you know, through my writings.
So would you say your particular type of writing is erotic, or would you say it's versatile?
Well, versatile. You know, it's not all about erotic. It's all about dealing with women, the way that, because, you know, I think that we as men have lost that with our women being sensual. You know, so my characters are the type of man that every day when he gets up, he's going to say he loves you. When you go to work, he's going to say, may God bless you and carry and bring you back safe. And then when he come home, if he miss you, he's going to tell you that. See, we don't say those type of things, you know. I mean, we're only sensual in the bedroom. But my type of character and the type of man that I want to be, the same way I'm in the bedroom, that's the same way I want to be outside on the avenue, same way I want to be out in the movie, same way in the play. So the same way I express myself to you in the bedroom, that overflows, that carries outside of the house. And a lot of men, I don't really want to say this, but there's a lot of the black men that I know, we don't feel like we can be sensual because we feel like that's a weakness. That's a strength for you to walk outside and carry your woman hand in hand and walk down the street with her and don't care what nobody say. That's strength right there, you know?
Definitely. I agree. I definitely agree with you. What would you say you find most appealing about the plus-size woman?
Oh, my God. It's so much. I mean, man. Everything, hips, legs, you know, just, I mean, to me, it's like, you know, it's a nice artwork that God has created. So when I look at a four-size woman or a thick-size woman, actually believe there's no lust type of thing. I'm not a lustful type of man. You understand? But it's just like I sit back and I can admire the craftsmanship and the workmanship of God. So that's the way that I look at it. You know, it's not really no lust thing because you know, why lust after somebody that's already in a relationship or might be a married one or something? So all you can do is just sit back and admire the work, you know? But, yeah, from a foundation, just like my writing, I've always had a thing for forced women, thick women. You know, I've dug in my past and tried to see actually where it came from. And there's so many different sources, I can't pinpoint it. So I have to say that it's in my bones. It runs in my blood.
Now, how would you say you came up with your title for your first book, You Love Your Playful? What does that actually mean to you?
To me, it means like mine. I love a nice, thick, full-sized woman. You know what I'm saying? If you were to translate and put that in the food and put it on the plate would be packed. It would be full. You understand? So I don't want nothing small on the plate. Not, you know, to me, all women are beautiful, so I'm not saying anything against a skinny woman. But for my preference, to keep me satisfied and to keep me at home, my woman will have to be a full-size, a thick-size woman. You understand? Most of the time, I think, you know, a lot of guys that I know of, they're like a thick woman. They deal with a skinny woman. And then when that temptation comes along, they're going to automatically cheat. So I don't do that from the door. I get a woman at home that I'm satisfied with. So when I'm out in the street, when I touch the street, when I touch the road, when the temptation come in front of me, I can battle. I have something to go to war against it with because I have something nice at home. You understand? You can't tempt me out on the street because I have the same thing at home and I know it's mine. So, that's the way that I deal with it as far as, like, my plate is full. You know what I'm saying? When I sit down to eat, I'm on a full plate. Meaning when I sit down and be in a relationship, I'm on a nice, full-size, sexy, sensual, educated woman. I'm spiritual.
All right, now. I'm quite sure that description is going to have your page just rolling up now. You're going to have sisters coming at you from all ways just from that description. That was beautiful and excellent. But it's truthful, and that's all they ask for, really, is for you to be truthful with the way you feel.
Right, right, of course. I mean, we so used to, especially guys, man, we so used to lying and covering up our feelings that we don't know how to really express ourselves. That's why I say in a lot of my writings that my character is always learning to re-love women. You understand? I mean, you have to take away everything you think you know about women and start from scratch. And that way you're open to new ideas, you're open to new suggestions. You know, if a woman come home from work and she want to talk about what happened at the job, you're willing to listen. You understand? That's part of rebuilding and relearning yourself and relearning to love women. Because I didn't come from that type of family. I never seen love. I never seen my father love my mother. I never seen my grandfather love my mother. So those are things that I had to learn myself, you know?
Mm-hmm. I agree. Well, how much of that book would you say is realistic?
Actually, you know, I'm going to be truthful with you. Most of that, all of it. I mean, I haven't been in a lot of relationships. You know, the relationships I've been in have been like 4, 5, 6 years long lasting. But I say pretty much 75% of that book is from experience. And the other 25 is what I would like to do, you know?
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
It's definitely a good way to put it. Well, would you say there's a... is there any kind of message in your book that you want the readers to grasp?
Yes, of course. I want women to, especially full-size and thick women, to know that there are guys out there that admire them. You know what I'm saying? As far as like, you know, this sister is sensual, she's sexy, without lusting. You know, it's not about because, you know, stereotype says that big women always have money and, you know, Ray, 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 and other things that they say, you know what I'm saying? So you do have those type of guys, but then you have another group of guys like me that just admire them for, like I say, the workmanship, the art, the way they look. You know, thick women and full-size women have a different walk to them that I think is sexy. You understand? I'm just biased towards them, so. But anyway, you know, the way they walk and the way they style up, you know what I'm saying? So, yes, man, you know, it's a lot of guys that I talk to that feel that same way that's coming out. They used to be in the closet with it. But slowly but surely they're stepping out. You understand? And it's not just about what this girl can do for you. She can support you. She can feed you. She can clothe you. You understand? It's just about, like, them. That's a sexy-looking sister. You understand? So that's my message as far as when I write, you know, and those are the type of guys I'm going to attract, the type of guys that feel the same way that I feel. Those are the type of men that will read my work, you know?
I agree. I love your answers. Your answers are really right on point. You know, me being a woman, yeah, I love those answers that you're giving. One of the questions that I know I would love to ask you is, what most influenced your life? What type of books most influenced your life the most?
Actually, you know what? The type of books is real crazy. It's going to be so crazy. You know, Frantz Fanon, he has a book called Wretched of the Earth. Most of the books that influenced me have been conscious type books. Nothing sensual, nothing to do with women. The way that you as a black man, because like I said, half of my family is West Indian, so I came from learning about Marcus Garvey and all those type of things, plus I'm a Rastafari myself. So a lot of my books is about consciousness and upliftment of the black man. You understand? What I write is totally different from what I would read. Like, I don't even read erotica. You know,
that's funny. Very interesting.
Yeah. I've never read an erotic book. I think I read 2 or 3 pages of Zane's Addicted. But other than that, I don't read other erotic writers. You know, when I read, it's something conscious. It's something uplifting. Nothing urban, nothing street lit. None of them type of books that I read.
Okay. Well, who would you say would contribute as a mentor for you?
As a mentor, you know what? You know what? It's going to sound kind of, you know, I mean, most people might say, I don't know how they're going to take it, corny or whatever they call it, but I have to say, seriously, when I have to say God. Because there's no men in my life I could really take an example from, because they each had flaws that I didn't like. Number one, most of the men in my family have treated women like crap. So that's not something that I want to take from them. As far as being independent, and having things materialistic and having things physically, yes, those things they had. But as far as the way that they would treat a woman and the way that they would treat human beings and the way they would embrace life, no, it's no man that I could look to. So I have to look toward God in that type of thing as far as leading me that the way that a man should be. You know what I'm saying? So mentor, of course, God always comes first. You know, of course I give thanks to my father for giving me life. But as far as mentoring, nobody never sat down and teach me anything. It's God that leads in certain directions, be it wrong and learn my lesson or be it the right way. But either one of them directions come from God. So I would say God is my mentor.
I don't think anybody could disagree with you on that. It's a very good answer. Now, I know you were saying that you read before you have read Zane's Addicted. Is there any books that you would say that you're reading now?
No, you know what? Actually, my fault. I read Sister Soldier's Coldest Winter, classic. And I read Midnight after that, so I do want to read the second part to Midnight. But that is on my goal to read. Whether or not, I never read other writers because I don't want nobody to influence what I'm writing. And it can happen. You understand? So I'm open to those types of things. I humble myself saying that another writer might be so fantastic that I might take a steal from his work. So before that even happened, I don't even read other writers. I mean, I hear from people out in the street who is good. So if somebody that knows my writing and reads my writing come along and say, well, Keno, this person is hot like you. But see, I'm going to take their, I'm going to agree with them. I'm going to take their judgment because they're good, you know, they're pretty good in knowing how I write. So if they come along and say, it's another writer just as hot as me, okay, I put that in my mind. Okay, Zane is hot. This guy is hot. This woman is hot. So these other writers I already know about when I come across their name or if I was ever to meet them or, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, that hey, you know, like you said, you like conscious books, and I understand that. It definitely stretches your mind, gives your mind a chance to be challenged.
Yeah.
And to grasp some things. Now,
I like too much erotica anyway, so I don't need to be reading it.
Trust me, I know the feeling. Okay, outside your family, who would you say supported you the most? What entity would you say supported you the most outside your family members?
I would have to say it was a sister in a Rasta sister by the name of Queen, who really was the first one to say, Keno, you need to write a book. I'm serious. Like, before, I always procrastinated about it. You know, every year I was going to write a book, but it never manifested. But this one year, I think for some reason God blessed her into my life. And she was the one that said, look, I have a computer. What's your excuse? And from that day, from the first day she said that, I started writing I Love My Playful. And I think it only took me like about 3 or 4 weeks actually to finish that book.
That was quick. Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, if you can do it, you can do it. You know, definitely take a hat off to you.
Well,
you know,
if
you had to do it all over again, would you change anything that you did in your latest book?
Actually, yes, I would. Yes, I would. Too much, some of my wordings, you know, like some of my wordings are graphic, so I would kind of change it. You understand? Like, instead of penis, I would say Tosh, which is I say now, Tosh is the word that I use for penis. So, if I could go back, I would take away, you know, all my stories where I have penis, well, you know, the word for penis, I'm not gonna say it, but. I would take that word out and replace it with Tashi, you know. And, you know, it's a learning experience, man. My second book is going to be way hotter than the first. The first one is to me, is really graphic. You know what I'm saying? I'm not as sensual as I can be. The second book will show that I have more sensual, it's more sexual, you know, it's not more graphic. So, if I could change anything, that's what I would change. But anyway, it's still a classic to me. I mean, you know, it's a good work as far as the erotica genre. Very good works. It's very original, very different, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I can't really complain.
Well, would you say that you travel a lot concerning your book, to promote your book?
You know what? I haven't traveled too much yet. God willing, in 2012 is when I start my travels, because like when I touch a certain city, I want people to already know who Keno is or have an inkling about Keno or at least heard the name Keno. You understand? I don't want to touch like in Detroit and don't nobody even know who Keno is. So when I touch a city, when they say Keno Kaisis is going to be here, a Keno Kaisis is going to be there, then, you know, I want to see that love. I want to see that reaction. You know, I want to see my work manifested in the love that people have for me. You know, so I know that takes time. And like I say, my first book is in the pot. I got it on simmer, so it's just simmering. I'm just throwing in different spices, different curries, you know. I'm jerking here and there. So, you know, when it's done and complete, man, people are going to come and run and eat it, you know.
Yeah, I agree. I understand. Well, what would you say was the hardest part of writing that book?
You know, I'm the type of writer, after writing on the vibe. Like, I might go for weeks or months and I'll write a block, if that's what you want to call it. But at the same time, I might catch a vibe and can do, like, 20 pages in one day. You understand? Then I might not write again for another 3 or 4 days or 5 days. But then I get another vibe and I write another 30 pages in one day. So I don't have no set time. I catch a vibe. That's why I always stay with paper. So sometimes on my way to work on a bus, I catch a vibe and I write 2 or 3 pages before I even touch work. Coming home from work, I write 3 or 4 pages before I even touch home. So whenever the vibe catches me, that's why I always have paper, I always have a pen, because whenever the vibe hit me, I'm writing.
Okay. Well, would you say you learned anything about yourself when you wrote this book?
Yeah, I learned that I was a freak.
That's funny. You learned that you're a freak. That's real funny. You all write neurotic, right?
Yeah. I didn't know I was as freaky as I am until I sat back and looked at my writings, and then I was like, man, you know, is this really me? Have I done this? You know, so it's a good thing. You understand? I mean, I'm freaky with the woman I'm in a relationship, when I'm in a relationship. You know, so it's not, I'm not freaky with 1,000 different women or 100 different women. You understand? So when the right woman come along, those things I talk about in the book will be manifested.
All I can say is, I feel for her. Feel for her. She better be ready. She really better be ready.
Yeah.
Well, I will say this. Is there any advice that you would give other writers who's up and coming and looking for guidance? What would you say to them?
I would say to anybody, trust God, because I'm a man, I'm going to make mistakes. So for me to try to set a guideline for a next writer to find is not a thing that I would do. I would say look to God for your inspiration and look for the haters to give you the energy. There's nothing like haters giving you that energy, because 10 or 5 people saying that you can't do it, man, you should see the power and energy you will get to do it. You know, that would be that gasoline in the car. If your car is dry, if you don't have no type of gasoline in your car, when people are hating on you, well, that's the gasoline to fill up your tank and get to move. See?
That is so, so true. Haters definitely fuel you to do things you didn't know that you can do.
Yes.
All the naysayers that say that you will never be anything, you can never do anything, and then you turn around and you do something, they look at you like, well, I knew you could do it. No, you didn't. You weren't behind me when I started. You know.
Believe in yourself. That's with anything. You know, believe in yourself. Trust in God first. And then once you trust in God and you know you believe in yourself and you believe in your talent, then it's on you to apply yourself and try the different doors and the different avenues to put yourself out there and get recognized. You know, so that's the process and the phase that I'm in now. I understand. I already trusted in God, and God manifested me to do what I need to do. So now I'm just going through the different doors, avenues to get myself known, like Zane or Jerome Dickley or the other, you know, Omar Tyree, you know. So, yeah, everything, like I said, God just told me to just let it simmer. You understand? Things is going to work out. Things are going to get good. I'm have so much good stuff for the women. You know, I love them, and that love will manifest in my writing. And hopefully, you know, then it manifests in book sales, and not even book sales, but just a love for me, you know?
Okay. All right. Now, I ask this to you. Do you think it's hard as a erotic writer to be in a committed relationship?
Yes. Why do you think I'm single now?
Why would you say that? What would be a reason why?
You know, because, like, because even the women that are in a relationship with me, they know that, you know, with certain women that, you know, there's certain women in that see me as chemo, they're going to see me as what I write. You understand? So when they deal with me, that's how they're going to deal with me. They're going to deal with me on a sexual level. They're not going to deal with me on a writer level or a level of just the mind. They're going to deal with me on a level of sexuality. So it's all going to be about, you know, show me what you write. Is it true? Prove it to me. You understand? So I think if you don't have 100% trust in your mind, and you, like me, if a woman can't have 100% trust in me, it's going to be a problem. Because if I go touch down in New York for a weekend or touch down in Virginia for a weekend, can you really trust me to be faithful?
No.
See, that has to be within the woman herself. I can't, you know, I can say what I won't do, but me saying it don't mean anything. You have to actually feel that in your heart. Like, you know, it's just going for business. He's going to promote his work. He's going to, you know, do different business endeavors. And, you know, I have to trust him to be a good guy and be on his best behavior. You understand? So until I can find that type of woman, I'd just rather be single. You understand? I don't want the headache. I don't want the drama. So I'd just rather be by myself until I can meet that woman that can say, look, you know, you're right. I know it's going to be times when you, and I trust you to be the strong type of guy that you are. You know?
Do you ever find that when you meet a lady and you tell her, or she knows that you write erotic poetry, that she wants you to act out what you write?
Yes, I get it all the time.
That's being honest.
I get it all the time. I mean, when I meet, you know, like this woman I've met on Facebook from my city, from Philadelphia. And, you know, we went out, I went over to their house and, you know, I'm not in the door 5 minutes and before they're asking me to show them. Let me see what you write is true. Understand? And for me, you know, number one, as a woman, you shouldn't even ask me that because you don't really know anything about me. You just know that I'm a writer. You understand? So right then and there, that's no really no type of, I don't know. I mean, they just can't, you know, as soon as I come to the door, at least let me sit down and get comfortable and drink a glass of water.
Well, I guess she must think that you're really thirsty. And your work is turning her to the moment that, you know, she can't wait until you get through that door to really live up to some of the things that she's read that you wrote.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, like I say, I'm a sensual guy. I'm very sexual, very sensual. And, you know, when I look at a woman, that's the way I look at her. You know what I'm saying? I look at a woman like, my God, she's beautiful. You know, so that I see a woman beautiful first before I see her as, you know, sexy or banging or whatever type of words that they use. You understand? To me, you're beautiful first because that covers everything. That's just not your physical. You know, that's your emotional, that's your mental, that's your spiritual. That's you as total. That's all of you is beautiful. You give off a beautiful vibe. So that's what I look for. I don't really look for the woman with the, you know, even though mine, I mean, that's what, you know, if I'm dealing with a full-size woman, I'll go and want a woman with wide hips. But the same way you touch the street with wide hips and I see you about 50 other men going to see you. You understand? So, you know, I don't want to sound like the next man. I don't want to be calling a woman shorty or saying you got a fat backside or look how big your legs are, you know? I'd rather say, look, can I caress your legs? Can I massage your legs? You know, I have some nice oils. Let me play some nice music. You know, dim the lights and make it sensual, you know?
Yes, Lord. I know what you mean. I definitely know what you mean. Oh, my goodness. Is there any particular piece that you have written that really stands out that you like the most? And if so, which one?
I don't know. You know what? My new pieces that I'm writing is pretty nice. You know, I have a piece where I wrote and I consider a BBW to a fruit. You know, so, you know, I talk about the way I peel an orange, the way I peel a banana, the way I peel a mango, and then I go about how I peel a BBW or a full size woman or thick woman, you know, because it's like a fruit. You know, they both, if you know what you're doing, they're both going to get wet. They're both going to get a lot of juice. You know, you're going to have a lot of things in your mouth. Your mouth's going to be wet, you know. So it's just, you know, it's, yeah, every day I'm coming up with something better. That's one thing I can say about these. Each day I get better and better, which is a good thing, you know. So I guess I'm like wine. You know, they say when wine matures, it tastes better. So each day my writing. I can't discriminate. I can't say I have one favorite writing.
Well, I will say, me personally, I love a lot of your different pieces. So I can't even pick out one that really stands the most to me. It's just so many of them. There's so many of them. But definitely, clapping for you, because you definitely can stimulate, like you said, the mind, and you definitely can get down into a woman's soul with your writing.
Well, that's good coming from a woman.
Oh, yeah. No. I'm one of your top fans, I tell you.
I like
but anyway, who would you say designed your cover for your book?
My publisher, Dawn, from Wicked Connections. They're my book publisher. So, of course, you know, the first book I put out was corny. The editing, the cover was corny. The editing was not up to par. There were so many different things wrong with the book. But like I said, God opened a lot of doors, and Dawn and Wicked Connections came true. They bought my first book and read it and seen the raw talent, but seen it that it needed to, you know, it needed some help along the way. So they gave me the help. They gave me a new cover. They did my editing. And they gave me what I need to be a best-selling artist. You understand? It was a nice combination. So I have to thank God and praise Him for linking me with Wicked Connection, because right now we're on a course to do some things. You understand? So, yes, that's have to dig them up. Big up God. All right.
All right. All right, and Dawn, actually, she came on last week and we interviewed her.
Oh.
So you in good, you definitely in good hands. She's definitely doing some things.
That's my girl. So, yeah, you know, like, you know, some things, you know, like, that's what I say. When you're raw in your talent, sometimes somebody's just as talented as you or in the same field as you can see and recognize your talent better than you can. I understand? Because I almost gave up hope. You know, it's like my book is not selling. You know, nobody's not recognizing me. Like, is it all in my head that I think I'm this good, or it's just me? So, but like I said, once you humble yourself like I did, God found a way for to open another door for me. So all I can see now is God just opening a bunch of different doors. Even tonight, this is a different door that can open up for me. You understand? So doors are always opening up for me. And, you know, me humble for that. I'm glad for that. I'm praise for that.
Amen on that. Definitely. Always, you know, you always got to know to keep your options open, because you never know what may fall in your lap.
Right. Let's, you know.
Now, would you ever date another erotic poet?
Yes. My thing is mine. If I find that right, you know, like I said, I work a lot, you know, right now into my career, took off from work and still at U-Haul. And most of the time I'm in the house. I don't touch the street like I used to when I was younger. I'm mature, so I'm more of a house body, right? So, you know, once I start meeting women, and if, you know, if I meet a woman and she's a writer, you know, or, you know, she could be a waitress, you know, it's not about the occupation, you know, it's about her. So, yeah, but an ex-writer, I mean, that would be something spiteful, you know? I think it would be a nice competitive relationship.
Yeah, I think the competitiveness definitely would be there, because you're both in the same, you know, doing the same type of genre. And, you know, I think your writings will come out even better, because you're both together and you're expressing it even more.
And the challenge, yes, yes, the challenge. But it's the same way if I find somebody that loves my writings. That's a good thing. You understand? Because I have somebody that's not only loves my writing, but can also be critical of me. Because we're in a relationship. You know, sometimes you don't want to see, you know, everything is looking good to you. And it's not always that way. You need a next pair of glasses to come in and read the same thing sometimes. You know, so, yes, erotic writer, waitress, bus driver, independent woman. You know, when God bring her, I'm going to take her as she is, just like I want her to take me as the way I am.
All right now. All right now. Was there anything challenging with your writing? Did you have any challenges to get your writing done?
Well, you know what? Actually, I wanted the book done by my birthday. And so during the time when I said this, my birthday was like a month and a half away. So that was the challenge for me to write and finish a book by my birthday. So, which is kind of hard because it's kind of hard to make yourself write when there's nothing there. But I knew at least every day I had to do 5 pages. So that was a challenge right then and there, you know, doing 5 pages of anything. Not just anything, but making sure it's good, to have good content, very sensual, very sexual. Women would love it to do 5 pages a day. That was the hardest challenge for me.
Okay. Do you have anything specific that you want your readers to know?
I'm a shy guy. If you was to see me on the street, you probably would have to speak to me first. You know, very shy, very quiet, very observant. So those 3 words sum me up perfectly. You know, I'm not the loud type of guy. I'm not going to be whistling if I see you on the street. I'm not going to be staring and calling you, hey, sexy, and hey, baby, and come here. And, you know, I'll just walk by and silently admire you, you know?
Okay. That could work, too. Definitely could work, too. Well, Keno, I will say this. You know you cannot get away from this station without telling us where to buy your book.
Of course, that's a good thing. You have, like, online, you can go on Barnes & Noble. They have the book. Amazon.com, they have the book. And then my publishers, Wicked Connections, they have a Wicked Connections e-store, and you can go in the e-store and not only get my information in my book, but, you know, Dawn is very talented. You know, they have some hot erotic writers on Wicked Connections, so I'm not the only one, you understand? So, like, it's like food, you understand? If I'm jerk, you might want some curry, you understand? So, you know, you have the jerk, you have the curry, you know, so they can go to the Wicked e-store. They can get I Love My Plate Full. They can support me. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, they're going to love the book. The book is hot. You know, the book is hot. You know, and like I said, things are just going to get hotter. Things are going to get more spicier. And, you know, it's the love that the people give me that make me want to write, you know?
Okay. Well, Keno, I would be remiss if I did not ask you to please lay down a piece for us tonight for these listeners.
You want me to actually read something?
Yes, I do.
Oh, my God.
Please, will you?
All right, let me see. I don't know. Can I read?
You can read whatever you feel like you want to read and share with us, you can read it.
I don't know if I could read what I'm writing on the spot. I mean, is this radio?
You can read.
Radio. Is it?
You can read.
I'm not going to. I can read?
Yeah, you can read.
All right. Let me think of something real quick.
This show is mature.
Huh?
This is a mature audience show. You can read.
Oh, okay. All right, let me see a nice piece that I can end with. All right, I guess I'll start with my love for it anyway. The 20 sexual reasons why I love big women. Here go the first one. In a short skirt or pants, big legs look so much better than skinny legs do. Hold on. I'm so excited. I'm down. All right, 20 sexual reasons. Here we go, women. My first reason, in the short skirt of pants, big legs look so much better than skinny legs do. Number two, big thighs. They excite me, and they feel soft when they caress. Number three, I love breast sex, and the bigger the breasts, the better the sex, and most big gals have large breasts. Number four, with a big woman, pussy gets extremely wet and juicy. Number five, oh my God, the areola, that part, that is the most sexiest part of the breast. And most big gals, they have it real large, coffee size, 50-cent piece size. I love it. Number six, when you're hitting it doggy style, the fat, wide ass just looks better. Especially like when you hit it and smack it in the jiggle. Love it. Number seven, big thighs. Tight around your head when you're eating a big gal. Exciting. Extremely wet. Extremely juicy. Number eight, I love the feel of a big body on top of me riding hard on my tash. Number nine, I just have a love for big women. And number 10 reason, all the other nine reasons I said, just repeat that again. So, those are my 20 reasons why I sexually love the big woman.
All I got to say, Keno, to that is hot darn. That was some nice stuff there. Wow.
Yeah, it's true.
Wow.
It's true. And for the women that's listening, if you're a thick sister, you're a big woman, one of those 10 things I read, you'll fit in that description. So you know that I'm not lying when I say that.
Mm-mm. You ain't lying. You ain't lying, not one bit. Well, Keno, I will say this. You know, I am so blessed to have you come on the show, and I get to hear your voice because I have corresponded with you, and I said, he's not going to know who I am amongst all the people that talk to you. You're not going to know who I am. But I'll just say this, to put the voice to the words that I read, now I know, because when I read your words, I can feel the, you know, the love that's coming through them. I have to say thank you. Thank you for loving big women. Some people may say I'm not big, but hey, I was big one time. I'm still big. As long as you're over 200 pounds, you're still big. So there you go.
You're good. I'm a fan of yours. I'm a fan of yours, too.
Oh, well, thank you. I didn't even know you knew.
Yes, I know who
you
are.
I said, this is all about you. I wasn't saying a word about me.
Nah, I know who you are.
Well, thank you, sir. That's really a compliment I will definitely take. And you always keep doing what you do, keep entertaining us. We really love what you're writing. I actually turned some friends on to you. I shared some work that you did, and they lost their minds. Again, they fit in that realm of what you like, the big BW. They was like, where is he? I got to go find him. That's the effect you had on them.
Well, you know, I can be found on right on Facebook, Keno Karcis. So, you know, you can always come on, you can join. I have writings always posted on my page. So, you know, until you get the book, I always give you little teasers and, you know, little snacks. So until you get the big meal, you can always come on my page and get a snack, see?
Yes, and those snacks are very tasty. I would say so. I have been on that page. I have read them, lost my mouth, just kept it moving, and had to come back and regather myself. So you're definitely doing what you do. You are exciting the women out there. They're loving it because at one point, BBWs wasn't being loved like they are today. And, you know, the women are really loving this. They're loving the feeling that they're getting from the men. So don't stop what you're doing. Always keep keep your love for the BBWs because they love you back.
Right. We love casual. We love equal. I love them. They love me. That's the way I want it to be.
Right.
The biggest fan. The biggest. I say that to every full-size woman and every thick woman listening tonight. Kino is your biggest fan.
Ooh, I'm just shaking my head. You can't see it, but I'm shaking my head. I just love this. I really love the openness that you did, you know, the candidness that you gave us with your answers. And me being an up-and-coming, you know, writer of erotica, I just have to say thank you for all the tools that you gave me to just know that I'm going in the right direction.
Well, I'm glad that I'm glad that somebody could say that, you know, my writings, you know, they got something from my writings, you know, especially another writer such as yourself. So that's always a good, that's always a humble, that keeps me humble. It, I love the love, but it also keeps me humble, keeps me grounded.
Oh, yeah, your visuals are awesome. I love the visual. You know, when I read your work, and I do this for anyone, if I read a person's work and I can't visualize it, then I'm going to lose interest. So if I can visualize what you're saying and it keeps my attention, then you're good. You're really good in my book. And that's what
Thanks.
Your work does to me. It keeps my
Thanks.
Attention.
Love.
I mean, I had fun with you. I really did. You know, of course, I welcome you to come back anytime. You know, even if it's just to kick it and just to sit back, hey, even if it's here to share some of your words live with all of us, you're always welcome to come back on the show and bless the mic.
No, Cindy, anytime y'all give me the offer, anytime.
Hey, yeah. The offer is open and it's a standing offer.
Bless them.
And we will be here next week at that same time and that same day. So definitely feel free to come back through.
Okay, I most definitely will. You know, I like to sit back and be a spectator and a listener myself.
Yeah, and I think all the ladies that were listening tonight and the ones that listen to the archives, they're going to get a kick out of hearing your voice. Because what they do all day is they read your work, but they never get to hear your voice. So they hear your voice, and then for them to put that voice with the words that they're reading, that's going to blow their minds even more.
Yes, well, now, ladies, I've heard the voice of Kino, you know, that I hope that inspire you to run out and get my book, support my work, you know, and together we make a good combination. You know what I'm saying? If I know that you love my reading, that's going to make me want to write more. You understand? It's going to make me want to write harder because I don't want to bore you. You understand? I want every page to be a turner. So like I say, when you're reading my book, there's three things you must have near you. You must have your mind. You must have your dildo. You must have your fingers. Those three things you must have near you when you're reading my work. And always keep a dry pair of panties somewhere in the vicinity.
I agree. Well, Kino, again, thank you, sir, for actually coming to the Erotic Central Sheets, you know, show here on Poetic Energy Network Station. You know, we love you. We are a fan of you. And definitely, you know, I will be trying to follow what you do.
All right. I thank you all for giving me a chance to come in. You know, let people that have read my work actually get to know me as a person, not just a writer. You understand? But they hear, like, some of my thoughts and some of the ways I think. You know, you didn't hear, you know, it's a short show, you know, but, you know, y'all got a little feel for me. So, like I said, hopefully y'all would love me to support my work, you know, become my fan, because like I said, and I'm serious when I say this to every full-size woman, every thick woman, I'm your biggest fan. The biggest fan. That's from the heart.
Okay, well, the time is closing down, and I definitely said thank you to you for coming out, and I want to thank all our global listeners, Detroit, all over the place. I would like to thank y'all for listening to this wonderful show with our special guest, Kino, Mr. Erotic himself. Thank you, guests in the chat room, for coming through and supporting the show, supporting Kino, because he was an awesome guest. And all our listeners that was on the lines, thank you for coming out and sharing some time with us. Again, we'll be back, same thing next week, same time, 10 o'clock. And feel free tomorrow to come through at Thursday night for our other open mic show on a Poetic Energy Network station with Miss Poetic E herself and Stevie G at 9 o'clock Eastern Time. Everybody have a good night. Love and peace and hair grease. Good night, everyone.
Night.
Me, time to test me, but I've had